Welcome to Take It From The Iron Woman. My name is Susanne Müller, your host and the Iron Woman. This podcast is about empowering yourself and others to make real changes in the world. You will hear from everyday, smart, sophisticated, hip people like you and me. Not everybody has to be an Iron Woman to impress the world. Together, we will learn from the sports and business leaders how you can become a more successful person as an entrepreneur or a leader. It's one step at a time, one day at a time. Take your steps now. Take your big steps now. Join me on this journey to success. Take it from the Iron Woman. Today, we go to the Shenandoah Valley to Amanda. And when you read her biography, it says she's a world-class professional USA off-road triathlete, ultra runner, former college swimmer, goes on and on and on. But what I'm interested in is the non-recipe book. And also she's training for life and living for the process. She's a food entrepreneur. I don't know. What else can I add?
That really captures a lot of the little tentacles of my life. Gives us some good stuff to dive into. I guess we'll start with training for life. I feel that's a good place to start because that really captures the essence and importance and meaning of a lot of that, a lot of the ways that I express myself in this world, whether that be through my work or through my athletic pursuits and my movement practices, through the coaching that I do. I grew up as a competitive swimmer. So like I mentioned a little bit of that, I feel having a little bit of context to my background is helpful because I've been very embedded in the sports culture. My background in swimming, what has allowed me to transition and be introduced to triathlon. I've always loved running and biking too, but I very much like grew up in the box of swimming and my identity and my life was very wrapped up in that. I swam in college and when I was there, I fortunately got injured and I had hip surgery, one on each hip. And I wasn't sure if I was going to continue swimming after that because it was a very serious injury. In that time, my whole life being so much of a swimmer, I had only saw myself as like Amanda the swimmer. When I was injured, I realized I had all these ideas and I had all these passions and all that energy I had in the pool was no different for my life either. What got me into the food system work that I do was starting a locally sourced student run food truck when I was in college. Mm-hmm. That was like my introduction to the farming system and the connection of food in the Shenandoah Valley, which is where I am today and have like since moved away and then came back to it and returned to this spot. In that process of sort of realizing I was so much more than swimming, I realized that like athletics are just like one part of who I am. It's not all of me. And like, it's one part of expressing myself, of a better understanding to myself, improving upon myself. I realized that I can do that for life. It's not something that stops when I finish swimming in college. So that's when I found triathlon and kind of had this roundabout way to starting with road triathlon, actually like going to Switzerland where we recently connected on, staying in the same place that you grew up, doing road triathlon. And then in the recent year, switching to Xterra and doing off-road triathlon, learning a new skill, like learning how to mountain bike in my recent adult years has been really exciting. And like, there is always something to learn. Just yesterday, I was learning how to clip into my mountain bike for the first time and like was totally challenged by it. I have so many bruises and cuts and I sprained my ankle. It was actually a really tough day. But I realize this is something I'm constantly pursuing. I'm constantly challenging myself. So that spills into my book and into my coaching and into my food system work. But like, no matter being a professional athlete or someone that's just getting started, this is something that we can do for life and athletics can be a part of that. And that's why I mentioned that because it's what has directed so much of my pursuits in this world.
And I want to add that actually athletic helps us in the business life. So when I see people are like, I don't know. And I was like, come on.
Yes.
Put the marathon mentality, put the Ironman mentality into yourself and get going. And people say, you're so good. Training is one thing and the marathon is just a cherry on the cake or the Ironman is the cherry of the cake.
Yes.
It's the journey is more important than the destination.
And I think having, for me, what's been really helpful is the perspective and application that having these passionate pursuits in work or in our ideas outside of sport provides. Because for me, I see myself as much more well-rounded than just putting all my eggs in one basket and focusing on myself wrapped up in sport. I do my training and I love it. And that carries over to my work and to my life. When I come up against a challenge or I'm doing a hard workout in the morning, it gives me strength And it's a reminder of my capability that I can conquer these hard things, or even just like filling my cup, even just like the fulfillment that provides too carries over and allows me to be more present in a phone call. This for me, I grew up very hyperactive with ADHD, and sports has always been a really important part for me to have an outlet to like better express myself. And so when we can do that in one way, there's spillover into all of life. It's all connected in those mindsets that we practice while we're in sports, when we're overcoming challenges or learning something new or being a beginner. Like that is the same thing that happens outside of the water or outside of the track or the field. And I think that's something for me, I find so much strength and resiliency in, is remembering like, hey, I did this thing. In this capacity of my athletic world, I can also carry that over to starting a business or taking on this presentation that I was really nervous about or didn't feel that confident doing. Mm-hmm. And remembering sports helps enable that for me, at least.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I think sports has given me so much. So mm-hmm. It's like you show up, even if it rains, you know, yeah. I don't want to go, but you still go.
I thought that perseverance and like the showing up, as you call it, the day after day, like being consistent and whatever we commit to, whether that's ourself and a challenge that we take on. So say like for me, like I want to run 100 miles this year. That would be a dream of mine. I also have a challenge I've created to do a triathlon across the state of Virginia. So I have these pursuits and challenges outside of like a race as well. I don't think that you need necessarily a finish line prescribed or like offered by a race director. I think you can create your own challenges. And anyone can do that. They don't need to sign up for an Ironman to do that. They can do that. They can create their own Ironman, which is basically mm-hmm. what I'm doing. But we can challenge ourselves in so many ways of our life. And like, look what happens when we tap into that strength and that resiliency and that part of ourselves that we didn't know was possible before. That's what makes sports so beautiful, is it can be something anyone does. You just need to go outside and start.
It's also that outdoor. And I think you can combine it. So while our work, coaching and inspiring mm-hmm. others is maybe indoors, but then we need the outdoors to rejuvenate ourselves and to do great work.
There's so much research pointing to that as well. Just from like my anecdotal experience in switching more to the off-road side, where I'm in the forest and I'm surrounded by nature, it has just provided me a whole different life energy of recharging myself or restoration, feeling more connected to the land that I'm on and the community that I'm in. It's really hard to quantify that and point and be like, yes, this helped me in like XYZ ways. You feel it. I know I can point to that and say, hey, that's going to leave me better because of that. It's a safe place. It should be a place everyone feels welcome to. And whether that's going through a hike or just like going on a cruise through the woods, like, yes, I take my sports a little competitively. It also doesn't have to be that way too. I think anyone can enjoy it and like gain and receive something, while also it's this reciprocity that takes place as well. It's not just us extracting enjoyment from nature. Like when we're connected to it, we treat it better. We have respect for the land. We can be a part of like helping to retain and support the trails. I think it's a reciprocating relationship too with nature, which gives it more meaning. That something I just kind of recently have been really passionate about exploring and realizing.
And we need more of this, especially when you talk about climate change and you go into the woods and the Japanese talk about forest bathing.
Yes.
That is so beneficial to us. What was the huge difference for you from the road race and then to the Xterra race?
I love having the elements that are unanticipated. Mm. Their nature, the terrain, the competition. When you're doing a road race, I love road races are really fun too. You can anticipate what the race is going to be like. It's pretty expected. But when you do Xterra, as we do off-road racing, it challenges my mind. I like what it requires of me to be mentally agile, to pivot, to work mm-hmm. with my equipment, to connect with the terrain and understand where I'm going to be competing and racing on, to know how to use my bike or how, like what I should be doing based on the type of technicality or the mm-hmm. weather that's at play. I've done races where I've had to hike my bike a ton because it's broken, or like we've had a pouring monsoon and the swim got canceled, or like we're covered in mud and we're just trying to like use the tree limbs to pull ourselves up. That sort of challenge is really exciting because you don't know what you're going to get handed at the event. That's really fun to me, knowing that like I didn't just prepare myself physically, but I prepared myself mentally and emotionally to take this on too. I am ready for this, but like many times in life, we don't know the challenge that's at hand. It's going to be different than we anticipated, but like, how do you respond to that? I love how that tests you and like really shows you what you're made of too.
I love the mental challenge, things that are unknown and you have to find a solution and find a solution right away. You can't just, I always say, you can't go to a book on page 270 and like, no, you need to react right away. And what if the bike breaks? Well, then you, what is plan B?
Like, there's no set blueprint. This is kind of connects to my book too. There's no set recipe in life either. And exactly what you're talking about. My book is called The Non-Recipe Book. And yes, it's part cookbook, but it's really in applying these same principles that we have in sports, that we have in the kitchen, that we have in life, bridging all of it together and finding that intersection of how do you make the most with the resources that you have, the ingredients that you're given, with who you are and your unique needs and offerings. You create something beautiful with that. That's the ultimate challenge. That's just not in the kitchen. That's not just in sport. That's in life too. I think that when we practice in these certain arenas or these certain like vessels, we can then take that over and apply it in like other places where maybe we were a little bit timid or scared or uncomfortable, or it takes a lot of courage to practice it. We can practice in a safe place first. And sports is a great one. And I think the kitchen's an awesome one for that too.
Your book is not a cookbook?
It is. It is.
Okay, it's tell us more about
that. Yeah, it's half cookbook, half research, nonfiction, memoir in a way. It started as a cookbook, actually. I have very deep roots in food, and everyone would always ask me how I made certain things. And so it began as me tracking that process and being, I'm on the pursuit to create a cookbook. I'm going to create and finally write down all of these cool foods that I make and all these recipes. And it took me a week of writing it to realize I was the last person to write a recipe book. I've never followed a recipe in my life. And when I really began to reflect upon it, I haven't really followed a recipe for how I live my life either. I really wanted to unpack that and understand like, what is my process when I go into the kitchen and why do I live the life in this sort of unconventional route that I take it for myself and combined my experiences across like my own neurodiversity or my way of approaching sports or my entrepreneurial path. That's where I make that connection in the kitchen of going through the process of what I call the non-recipe process. It combines design thinking with nutritional psychiatry, with sustainability, with sport, with business and entrepreneurship, and kind of weaves that together in a way of starting with cooking as an opportunity to practice these mindsets that we have when we're in the kitchen, but also are applied outside of the kitchen too.
We all need to read this because some people need a recipe book for their lives, but maybe sometimes people need to be outside of that.
Some gentle guidance can be helpful. I think that's all I hope to provide is an invitation to test and play and iterate. And like, this is so much of the process in business, realizing our needs, figuring out the resources that we have, taking some dream and inspiration, and then iterating and trying it as we go. And then like really basking in that process, enjoying it, letting that serve us and nourish us. I have a process for the book. I talk about that and I hope people can apply it, but having a little bit of a set direction could be helpful. And then from there, adapting to your needs and what you need in the kitchen or having a little bit of direction is really helpful for getting creative.
And we all know when let's say we're invited at a friend's house to make a soup, what is the recipe? It's a family recipe. So they add whatever.
And that's the thing. It is going to come out differently every time, but it's going to come out perfectly for what you need at that time too. And trusting that process as it's playing out and being, this is what I need at the moment. And just tasting as you go and making it a little bit different every time, depending on what's in season or what you're feeling, temperature or how hungry you are. These are all ways to kind of tap into what our unique needs are, which I feel like sometimes we get a little bit removed from. And I find kitchen is a great place to ground us and reconnecting with that and what we like, what truly serves us.
And what is your favorite food or what do you cook?
I don't pick favorites. What I do really love, I love leaning on plants for a lot of my food sources. I don't follow any sort in like dietary practice, but I do love leaning on plants for creativity. Some of my favorite foods are dates, sweet potatoes, nut butters, greens. It depends what's in season and what's growing in my garden, but I do love to try to source as locally as I can around me and like and connect with my own garden or the farms in my area. So it definitely shifts with the seasons. One of my favorite things to make in my book is a potato bowl. And it's blending up like an herb mix, which you can also be flexible in that. I use basil for that pesto, but there's a lot of different adaptations you can make for that. Having a sweet potato base that's toasted and roasted and crunchy and sweet, but you can add different protein to the top. So whether that's tempeh or tofu or chicken, you can adapt that to your unique needs. And then adding in different seasonal vegetables is really fun and adds variety into our life and different essential minerals and vitamins that help us stay healthy depending on the time of the year. That's a fun one for me. That's an easy go-to.
You said something like scary. So what are you scared of when you are on the mountain bike?
This is a very, I guess, timely conversation because I just learned how to clip into my mountain bike last night. I was so hit with fear from that. I think it brought up a lot of fear of getting injured, of can I do this? I should just stay comfortable and stay in my flats. Why am I even doing this? I could just keep doing what I'm doing and I'll be totally fine. If I hurt myself, then I can't train. I did fall and it really hurt. And I felt that I'm getting kind of deep on this, but that like physical falling process of hurting myself like, really opened up like an emotional wound for me too, because it was like the doubt that I had in my mind, the fear of you can't do it, you can't learn how to clip in, you shouldn't even try. It really brought that to the surface for me. And I just feel like talking about training for life, this is something we're always figuring out and always testing and overcoming. And I had to be really compassionate with myself through that process of being a beginner and learning how to do this for the first time. Even as a professional athlete, I'm still having these experiences where like I have to come up against my own self-doubt, new challenges for me. I fell and I sprained my ankle and I cut up my knee and I have this big bruise on my leg. And honestly, I left feeling really deflated by the whole experience. I also know I'm going to figure it out. It's going to be really tough at first. And it's really scary because I could crash. I've done hard things in the past. I know I can do them again. And it's just going to take some time. But like, I think people forget that everyone goes through that. It's not just like, it's not just them. The professional athletes experience this too. And I feel like I'm definitely still learning through the process. And I'm grateful for the lessons sport provides me.
What wise words, like have compassion with yourself. Any other wise words that you want to share with the listeners to sum up?
I think I'm like very hard on myself often. And that's what sport's been so helpful for me is I definitely grew up with this mindset of approaching sports. You got to work hard. You can't skip practice. You do the best. If you're not gritting your teeth and hustling, you're not doing it wrong or doing it right. And in my recent years, I found that like loving myself through the process of even before I'm perfect or even through the process or when I'm not getting it, being really kind to myself as I am hard is very important. I talk a lot about this in the book because I used to just focus and try to be like mentally tough, push through. Being as like compassionate with myself has been a really important practice. And there's a lot of research around self-compassion and mental toughness as a process we zip up, and they're actually mutually beneficial. And for me, when I understood that research and I actually like found myself being hard on myself and being like, hey, you could be kinder to yourself in this situation. This doesn't have to be so difficult. It made me such a better athlete. I'm practicing that still. I'm still rewriting a lot of those patterns that I have just in practice last night, being really kind to myself through that process of figuring it out. It's emotionally challenging and painful, but bring that we're doing something hard for the first time and we can love ourselves through that before we're perfect. I think there's many ways that that applies in other aspects of our life too. And sports is one place that's just really teaching me that.
Thank you so much for all your insights and good luck. Be safe and hopefully not too many injuries.
Thank you. I hope so too. Appreciate it.
What a cool conversation. What are you taking away? Ready for biking? Anything outdoors? Take it from the Iron Woman. We have episodes every Monday. Check in with us with cool stories from cool people with really cool stories. And Take It from the Iron Woman is also the book, Global Business Coaching with Sports Parallels. Get it in your local bookstores or download it. Thank you for your support. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.